Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 7, and we just finished reading verses 12 through 14. And you remember, the Israelites were given charge that if they would keep the commandments and the judgments of the Lord, that God would keep His covenant with them, and that He would love them, bless them, multiply them, bless the fruit of their womb and the fruit of their land, and even made the promise that there wouldn't be any barren among them if they kept the Lord's commandments.
And this is what we want to talk to you about. This message is to the nation of Israel, okay? And I think about how not everyone in the nation is righteous and not everyone is evil. You follow me?
Yeah.
But when God gives a mandate to a nation, if that nation does not follow that mandate, then those within that nation suffer the consequences of not following that mandate. And you see this with when Israel first went into the promised land, crossed Jordan, and the first city that they encounter is Jericho. And God said, all right, utterly wipe it out and take no spoil. This is devoted to the Lord. And you know the story how Achan took some gold and garments. And then when Israel went against Ai, they were defeated by a very small army. And Joshua falls on his face before God. What's going on? And God said, Israel has sinned. He didn't say Achan. The whole nation suffered the consequence because one soldier has violated that commandment. If you don't realize your representation and you don't realize the impact that it has on other people's lives. And until they got that eradicated, Israel couldn't win. And so God told Joshua, you deal with it. And he dealt with it. Got the sin out. He had to execute the man, you understand? And I think about in Samuel with Hannah goes to the temple. Eli's the priest, and she's barren and being made fun of because it's a curse to be barren. And so she goes before God and just pours her heart out to the Lord. Israel's not living for God. Even the priests are they're the leaders in the sin against God. And ultimately, the Philistines defeat them. But because of this woman's dedication to the Lord and her intercession to the Lord, God honors her request and opens her womb, and she gives birth to one of the greatest prophets to ever live. Interesting, isn't it? So it doesn't mean that God just ignores everybody else, but you have to cry out. Hannah would have stayed barren had she not taken the initiative to cry out to the Lord. And you take the word of God before Him. Lord, your word says, if we'd obey your commands, I've obeyed your commands. I've obeyed your word. My conscience is void of offense. And I'm making this request to you. You understand? And God honors that. But you can't just think because I'm a Christian, everything's going to be all right. No, it rains on the just and the unjust. You understand? And so the just have to get before God and intercede, and we have the responsibility of interceding for the nation. And if you don't pray for the nation every day, I would encourage you to do that and pray for the leadership of the nation. Get your personal opinion out of it and pray for what's in the best interest of the nation. You understand, this is not about politics. This is about our welfare. When Judah went into captivity to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, they were told, you pray for this nation, even though they're in captivity, you pray so that you'll have peace. You understand? And so I pray for this nation today. I want what's in the best interest of this nation. I'm not a politician. You understand? A man's not my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I'm wanting the kingdom of God established in this land. I want God to rule. And God can do that through whomever. He chose Cyrus, a Persian king, to build his temple. Isn't that amazing? Now, we wouldn't have selected that, would we? And so you have to get all that stuff aside and stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to God and make sure that you're doing your part, because your part is affecting your nation. It can be good or bad, but I want to affect the nation in a positive way. And I intercede for this nation every day. I'm going to tell you that right now. I pray for Israel every day because I'm very concerned about it. I believe that Israel is God's chosen people. I believe that the United States of America is a nation that God has chosen to represent Him all over the world. And we got to get out of the politics and get into the Spirit of God and intercede to where God can do with this nation what He ordained it to do. Amen. Let's not be barren. And if you're barren, then let's get before God. I've been praying for this nation for years. It's not just something that we started. It's for years. Because I've seen the demise over many years. Turning away from God. You think all the way back in the 60s, when Madeline O'Hare got prayer taken out of the schools, that would have never happened had the Christians stood up against that. One person was able to get that removed. And I look at 1963, I think, when the Communist Party stood on the floor of a republic and told what they were going to do to the republic, how they were going to take over. The Communist Manifesto, if you've never read it. And you saw it taking place. And we were almost done in. Almost out of democracy into socialism, which is the first step to communism. And I remember Khrushchev saying that he'd take America and never fire a shot. He would do it through education. He would educate the children to be communists. And so what happened? They developed a Department of Education, and they didn't teach him reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's not what they do in the schools today. They teach you everything but that. And I taught public school. I had seniors that couldn't add a quarter and a quarter. You understand? I said, you mean to tell me you guys have never had fractions? Seniors. Brainwashing. Somebody's got to stand up for this nation and get it back on track and get us to basic fundamentals, get us to back under a constitution that has godly principles in it. Communism's of the devil. It's Antichrist. We want God back to the forefront. Amen? And that's basically what Moses is saying. You keep God to the forefront. Always. If you don't, it's going to be to the detriment of the nation. So this is a relevant word. It's not just some history lesson from Deuteronomy. And if you'll honor God, God will honor you. God honored Hannah. Hannah stayed true to God in the midst of perversity. She stayed true to God and God honored her.
Thank you. Verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
Now here again, remember, he's talking to a nation. If this nation will obey God, I'll take sickness from it. Man, that is a powerful statement. And I'll prevent you from being struck with the terrible diseases that came upon Egypt. You witnessed it. But I can spare you from that. You won't be afflicted with those sicknesses and diseases of the Egyptians if you stay submitted to me. That's the nation. You understand? Well, the principle's still there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes, by the stripe, by the marks placed on his back, we are healed. But it's not automatic. You understand? There's a role that we play. We have to be absolutely convinced that God's way is the only way. We have much more power in us than we've ever tapped into. You think about a person that is filled with the Spirit of God. How much more power can you get? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? But we haven't tapped into that yet, have we? It's not that the potential's not there. Is that we haven't been convinced that this is what we're to do. And we have to be convinced that God's way will get God's results. Amen?
Amen. Verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee.
He's reiterating. I mean, you listen to how many times in this book of Deuteronomy he said this. Now, completely destroy these seven nations is what he's referring to. You completely destroy these people. I'm going to deliver them over to you, but you have the responsibility of destroying them. You think about greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world, but we have to overcome that. We have the power to, but we have to have the initiative to exercise the power, the authority, okay? And he says, don't pity them. Don't pity them. Don't serve their gods. If you do, you'll be entrapped by them just like they were, and you're going to go down just like they went down. See, they have the warning before they go into the promised land. Moses has already given them this prophetic warning. You keep your eyes on God, you'll be blessed. You get your eyes off God, you're going to be driven out of your land. And history tells us they were driven out of their land because they got their eyes off God.
Verse 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, These nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt, the great temptations with thy eyes saw, which thine eyes saw, and the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid.
Naturally speaking, it did not appear that Israel was strong enough to drive out the seven nations. And if you read the history in the Bible, you'll find out that every one of those tribes allowed part of that enemy to stay in the nation. They didn't drive them out. And it came back to haunt them. So Moses said, don't be afraid of them. And he reminded them of what God had done to Pharaoh and to Egypt. I mean, you understand that was a mighty force at that time. But God took care of that. And he told them that God would display his power against these nations just as he had done there in Egypt, against Egypt. And he makes a statement that the Lord would send the hornet among the enemies until they're completely destroyed. Now, it may be that the hornet was a term used in a metaphorical manner, okay? Some believe that the hornet refers to plagues or diseases or something that would incapacitate the enemy to use their strength, their weaknesses, whatever. But whatever the meaning, God was going to use his power against Israel's enemies to assist them in possessing this land that he had promised to their forefathers. But it would require Israel cooperating with them. Do you understand? Well, that principle is the same today. We have to cooperate with God. You think about the Holy Spirit, the Greek word Parakletos. One who comes alongside us, and I like what one translation says, to take hold together with, against. He doesn't come to do the job for you. He doesn't expect you to do the job without him. He is looking for cooperative fellowship to where we are led by the Spirit, and our body, which is dominion in earth, carries out the will of the Spirit of God on the inside of it. So God empowers this natural man to do what naturally can't be done. Pretty incredible, isn't it? And so it looks like the enemy may be bigger, but the hornets are out there. You understand? God will use things. He'll bring confusion to the camp of the enemy. I've actually been praying that concerning this Hamas thing in Israel. That God bring confusion among them to where they fall flat on their face. You understand? I think back of the 1967 war, 6 day war with Egypt. I was in the military at that time. And I remember, you know, reading what happened. And for no apparent reason, the Egyptians ran. But later on, there was testimony. They saw an angelic host. And they got so scared, they left their tanks. They left everything. They ran. God showed up. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, if we'll stand up for God, God will stand up for us. He stood up for Stephen, didn't he? God will stand up for us too, but we have to keep our attention on him. You are responsible for driving the enemy out of your thinking. You understand? I promise you that all our problems are between our ears. And when we get this thing settled in our thinking, You get the victory inside before you see it manifested outside. If all you're seeing out here is defeat in your problems, you will never win. You'll always be defeated. If you have a victim mentality, you'll always be a victim. You have to see yourself victorious in order to overcome. You don't go into battle thinking you're going to be defeated. You go out there thinking you're going to defeat them. Or you'd better. If you don't think you can, you won't. If you think you can, you do it. You do it. Because then you'll have the grit to do what it takes. When you don't feel like going, you keep going. You understand? I know what it is to go days without eating. And I wasn't on a fast. You follow me? There was nothing spiritual about it. But it's amazing what that body will do when you mentally make that body do things. It'll get you through things you didn't think you could do. When you think you can't make it any further, you make it farther. It's a spiritual principle here. Same in the Old Testament, same in the New Testament. It's not that we're stronger than the enemy, it's that God is. Jesus has defeated Satan. Satan is already defeated. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." That covers the territory you're in. Right? That means that Satan has no authority over you unless you give it to him. Well, how? I'd never give Satan my authority. Through enticement, through temptation, through fear. All these tactics that he uses to come against your mind, you can't do that. And you agree with it. And when you agree with it, you see it come into existence. But when you get the attitude of Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength," that's when you're an overcomer rather than a succumber. Okay? God has created us to be overcomers. God created that nation of Israel to overcome, not to be defeated. But they had to have an overcoming mentality, and the only way you can do that is stay focused on God. You have to stay focused on God. You understand? You can't do it yourself.
When I read that 20th verse about the hornets, it got my attention because I thought, what's with these stinging insects? Remember, we just read about some bees not too long ago. Do y'all remember that in the first chapter? Did y'all think about that when you looked at that verse? You remember in chapter 1, verse 44, and the Israelites weren't listening. They weren't paying attention to the commandment of God. And the Amorites, which dwelt in the mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do. Remember that? They chased them. I got to thinking, Lord, are those the same? Is that the same Hebrew word? It just got my attention. And they're not the same word. One's a bee, and the other, the hornet, is actually wasp. And I was thinking, Lord, what's the difference between the two? Well, wasps are a lot more aggressive than bees. If you look it up, they're a lot more aggressive. And if you think about the Israelites' encounter with the Amorites, I think about the weevil. You know, the weevil that we fall down, but we get back up.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah. They had some loss there, but they weren't utterly defeated. You understand, the Amorites were one of those seven countries that were to be utterly defeated. And so the Lord is going to send something a lot more aggressive than they were to make sure they were utterly defeated. You think about the difference between Jesus and Satan. Who has more strength and power and authority? So you might get chased because of fear, but remember who you are. Amen?
I'll tell you a little thing that happened to me on the Hornet side. My daughter called me. She said she lived close to me at that time. She said, "Daddy, I got a hornet's nest up here with you. Will you take care of it?" I don't like bees. I don't like to get stung. You understand? I go up there, and that thing is like that big around, and I mean it's active. I said, "Lord, help me." And so I got hornet spray. It shoots the long way, right? And I said, "Lord, please protect me from getting stung. How do I do this?" And she had a screened-in back porch, and that thing was right there in the eave of the house. And so I opened that door, and I came out, and I know the Lord had to direct that thing. That thing shot straight into the hole of that hornet's nest, and I never backed off. I mean, I kept the machine gun going, you understand? I mean, every one of them got killed. And none of them attacked me, you understand? But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what the force against you looks like. If you'll call on God, and you'll look to God to give you the wisdom, the understanding, how do I handle that, God is faithful. Even in something that simple, God's faithful. You understand? And I'm telling you, I've learned to call on God in everything. And I guarantee you, especially with hornets. But I thought about that as I looked at this, you know, the hornets, I'll send the hornets among them. You know, that's the thing to be feared, whether it's metaphorical or if it's literal. But either way, we'll have power over them if we'll keep our attention on the Lord.
Verse 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God, is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. And by little and little thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed.
You think about this. The Lord is telling Israel through Moses, before they ever go into the promised land now, do not be afraid of the enemy, because you have the Lord on your side, is the essence of it, okay? Your Lord, your God, is great and awesome among you. You saw what he did to Pharaoh. And so he'll drive out the seven nations before you, but it'll be one at a time. Now, this is where we miss it, okay? God is saying, you're taking the promised land is going to be progressive. It'll be one city at a time. So you don't focus on the magnitude of the enemy. You focus on this city. Now, there is a spiritual principle in this. It's like in your life. You focus on one area of your life that you need to defeat that enemy in. Then you focus on the next area, you defeat the enemy in. A city at a time, a city at a time, a city at a time. And so this is what he's telling them to do. I'm not going to drive them out all at one time. If I did, the wild beast would take over the land. And then you'd have a big problem. with these wild animals. But I'll be with you, and you can drive them out. But just remember, it's not going to be all at one time. Now, when people see things just don't happen rapidly, they think God's failed. God never failed His word. You understand? God operates on His timetable, not on our timetable. And so this is why He tells us to be led by the Spirit of God. We want to try things. God does things. He finishes first. He gets this plan in His mind and is fully developed before He implements it. And we think, well, I'll try this. If that doesn't work, I'll try this. If that doesn't work, I'll try this. That doesn't work. I had someone to tell me, you know, about a situation. It dealt with marrying a person and there's some issues. I said, well, what if this doesn't work? Well, I'll just divorce them and get another one. I said, well, you might as well go ahead and figure on a divorce because that's what's going to happen. You can't go into that thinking that. You follow me? Sit back and evaluate. Can I, with 10,000, defeat an enemy coming against me with 20,000? I better talk to God about this and let Him give me a game plan, a battle strategy of how I can handle this. We have giants in our lives. We have fortified cities that we have to overcome. You understand? Metaphorically speaking, you understand? But I can tell you this, that God is faithful, and if we'll follow His lead, we'll take that land a city at a time. But the beauty of it is we'll take that land. I think about my own life, of issues in my own life, how one thing, I had to be delivered from this. I had to be delivered from that. But one of the major issues in my life was racing. And I was obsessed with it. And even after I really turned my life over somewhat to the Lord, I still was not delivered from racing. Okay? And you think about it and all the time. You understand? And so that was an area that needed attention. And here's how I overcame that. I got more interested in the Word. And the more interested that I got in the Scriptures, the less interest I had in racing. Before now, I don't even care. I don't even know the people. Back then, I could tell you all types of things, you know. But I have no interest in it. It was an area that had to be overcome in my life. How do you overcome it? By the Word. You understand? You get the Word in you, and then that'll be your witness. It'll come out of you to where that's no longer holding you back from doing what God wants you to do. That's just one area. Then there's another. You know, we had to overcome things with writing and going into the ministry. Going into the ministry was one of the most scary things I've ever done. Because I was never a person that could speak publicly. Not even oral book report, you understand, in school. And so it was extremely scary. And when I first started, I would have to make a decision. And I'm talking about a tough decision of whether getting in my car and driving off or going to the pulpit. I was that scared to go. I mean, to the point it bothered my stomach and everything. That had to be overcome. And the way you overcome that is you draw near to God. You get your attention on God. And you begin to realize it's not me anyway. So I don't have to fear this. What I have to do is not see myself performing. I have to yield a body to the Lord to speak. And I thank God for giving me the understanding of how to overcome. But you understand, I had to do something. God didn't just say, well, I'm going to lay hands on you and boom, there it is. And this is the mentality that people have today. They think somebody lays hands on them, that any problem you have, just get hands laid on you. No, deal with it. There's a time for laying hands on people. But I'm going to tell you, most of the time, God wants you to overcome that enemy. And you can do it if you put your attention on God, get the attention off of yourself. Most people think of their problem, they don't think of God. And if you're dwelling on the problem is huge. And you see the devil bigger than God. Back many years ago, the Lord gave me a message, how big is your God? You understand? The psalmist said, magnify the Lord with me. Get God big in your eyes. That's how you overcome the enemy. Israel wouldn't get God big in their eyes. When they did, they overcame the enemy. Amen. All right, we're going to stop there and we'll pick back up with wherever we stopped. I'm telling you, God has been good to me. Thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you leave it for you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week. Enjoy this warm weather.
Amen.